This is Will's Band of the Week for December 24th, 2017. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Anurag from the Ontario Bureau.
Hello, everyone.
And David from the New York City Bureau.
Hello.
I think we're ready to just call it a bureau. You've hit the big time, David. It's official.
Wow.
Does that mean
we get a budget for, like, furniture and...
We'll talk about that off the air. Yeah, it's an extensive budget.
Internet access and all those things.
Better mics.
I'm supposed to be sending you a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue also, probably, but...
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
So, David, I didn't know you were in New York City or in the New York State?
New York City.
Oh, and wow.
And New York State.
Cool. Where?
At the same time. Upper Manhattan.
Okay.
Hamilton Heights.
My wife did her dental education in Manhattan. The
Columbia?
No, the University of New York. New York University, sorry. The College of Dentistry, yeah. She was in 29th and 1st. I don't know where that is.
It's at the other end of the island from where I am. Yes.
Seemed like it. Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Oh. New York City is amazing. I miss it so much.
It's overpowering at times, yes.
Yeah, I can live with that.
But I'm particularly enjoying the range of concerts that one can get to.
Yes, I can imagine that. Yes. Right now outside in Kitchener, it is dead silent. I can step out and hear the raindrops if I have to.
Yeah, it's a little quieter in Kitchener than in New York City.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so Anurag,
you've been there. Yeah.
Yep. You know, it's a good thing, Anurag, your wife didn't get so excited by New York that she moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom.
Oh, no, she was a mess.
She came back to you.
When she came back to Canada, I said, okay, sweetie, you have 1 month to get over your New York blues, and then that's it. Then I can't hear any more about how much you miss New York. So it did take her about a month.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. Huh. So she was kind of like a big city snob kind of thing?
Oh, totally. In fact, we plan to retire in Toronto downtown. That's our long-term plan.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, very good. Got to get one of those condos with the floor-to-ceiling windows. I recommend those.
Oh, no, those probably go for $3, $4 million, so no.
Oh, come on, Anurag.
It's probably going to be a small...
Okay,
listen, I hear Toronto is all nearly as expensive as New York, and that's plenty expensive.
I think it's a little cheaper, but...
A little cheaper, but not... Yeah. Not so much as to be attractive on that level.
It's definitely not Manhattan level, but it could be approaching Brooklyn. I don't know. Hard to say. I don't know my markets very well. I know my humble Madison, Wisconsin market. That's all I need to know. All right. Hey, we have music to talk about, right?
Oh,
you guys have the impressive list. And we did a cool thing this time. You guys don't know each other's picks. So you're just going to be wowed one pick at a time, right?
That's true.
Absolutely.
So...
I know that Anurag's taste, being of a very high quality, is very often in line with mine, and I was afraid. I was afraid that what we might end up with was just this hopscotch where we just have the same records, but at different numbers, and we just keep jumping around the board, and to me that would.
At this point, we can still do that, and
we can bore all the listeners, but at least we're not boring each other, because this way we don't have any idea what's going to happen.
At this point, only Will knows, right?
Right. I think it would be great if you had picked the exact same picks.
That would be hilarious, yes.
Yeah, no, it didn't quite happen. So, no, there's a very good balance here. I think it's good. So, Anurag's name starts with an A, so that means he gets to go first. So, Anurag, number 10.
All right, number 10. The band I've chosen is called Adult Mom. The album is Soft Spots. And I have been a big, 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 big fan of Adult Mom ever since their first album came out, Momentary Lapse of Reason. And I was very excited when this new album came out, which is kind of a... it sounds a little bit of an extension of the old one, but better produced. So it's been constantly on my playlist, and the song we're going to play is called J Station. Yeah, so this is one of those good, one of the best breakup songs I've heard in a long time. So, excellent album.
Adult Mom. Yeah, I was going to ask if they were from Canada, and then I looked it up. State University of New York at Purchase.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Ah. All right.
Where's Purchase?
Purchase is in Westchester County. And you know who else went to Purchase, came out of Purchase?
No, I don't.
Mitski.
Oh, oh really? Wow. Now, yep. There's a good trivia item.
Yeah.
Nice. There you go.
I love Mitski, too.
No Mitski album this
year.
They
have a little indie festival at Purchase every year, and I guess it's mostly for students, but people can go from the outside. They always have a good selection of people.
Cool.
You might have mentioned Adult Mom to me before, Anurag, but all I remember is I've barely heard of them. But that sounded good. Some good indie
pop.
They
are, yeah. Really good.
All right, David, what's number 10? Can you pronounce number 10? That's the question.
Not really. I might have difficulty with it. Yeah, this was a tough one. I had nine names locked down, and then there was a fierce battle for number 10. I really didn't decide until a day or two ago that these guys finally made it onto the list, and a bunch of other people had to drop down to honorable mentions. I do have nine honorable mentions, but you know. We don't have to go into them if you don't want to. But, you know, it's a very prestigious thing to be on one of these lists, even the New York list, which is, you know, obviously not one of the prestige Madison lists. But still, it's, you know, it's an honor. And so, I've been getting a lot of calls and emails from various bands saying, you know, what can we do for you and how can we help you to get our name on the list? But
Lots of blue scotches being sent
exactly.
to you.
All kinds of things, you know, that might arrive in the mail. But, you know, I've resisted all that because I think we need to decide purely on the merits. I'm sure you agree with that.
Yeah, we don't. There's no improper influence going on around here at all.
No, there shouldn't be. So I came up with McThaverscan.
That's as good a guess as any.
McThaver. Skan.
Yep.
And they're from Gothenburg, Sweden. All the Swedish bands seem to be from Gothenburg, so that's not a surprise. And apparently that's not even a Swedish word. That's a made-up word.
Interesting.
So this is what I read. So
The nice thing about that is you really can't pronounce it wrong then, if they just made up the word.
Right. You certainly can't embarrass yourself
right.
in any way in front of Swedes, because they wouldn't know what you were saying anyway.
Right.
That's true. Anyway, they have three albums conveniently titled 1, 2, and 3. So this is the one from 2017, number 3. I actually discovered them by reading a description somewhere. It must have been a very compelling description of their style, because I went from that to looking them up and then just, you know, fell for the band. So
wow,
there you go. Somebody described them in a really compelling way. I can't remember, somebody on the internet. And so the track is In My Dreams.
MacTaverscan, album number 3.
Indeed.
It's album number 3, but it's number 10 on your list. I think I listened to number 1 or 2, and I liked it. I didn't get around to listening to this one too much, but that's a cool sound.
Yeah.
Yes, I think they're good. I'm sorry.
Yes, I really liked it. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I think there are good things on all three of the albums. The 2 was a pretty strong album as well. I guess the best thing I can say about them is that I would be really intrigued to see them live, because the singer has this, you know, this high register, and then she just like wails out, and I think that would be amazing if they could pull it off live.
Yeah, it's a pretty powerful voice. Very good. All right. Well, you know, maybe before we started listing all the bands, I should have asked you, David. Sometimes you do a live report thing. Did you want to give like your top live shows? Craig could do that. You know, he did that, and he could list like a ridiculous number. It would take a whole podcast.
Yeah, I don't really know what was the best. I mean, I haven't been to any really disappointing live shows. They've all been pretty good.
Yeah, just
I've been to about half as many as Craig. I just listened to Craig saying he hit 25 this year.
Yeah, ooh. And that's a low number for him.
And that was a low number. Right.
That's 24 more than I have.
Anurag just, he couldn't get out and keep up with the scene in Kitchener. Nope. I mean, there's just like, it's just too crazy in Kitchener, so he stays in his house. It's too intimidating.
Keeping up with the Kitchener scene is not an easy thing.
So. Yeah, it's tough.
It is.
All right.
I can't really say, although the Waxahachie show, which happened to have Snail Mail opening, that was a treat, I have to say.
Yeah, you were pretty.
It was good. It was good at the front, and it was good at the back as well. So, you know.
Yeah. All right.
Top of the bill and the bottom of the bill.
Let's.
Solid. So, I'll go with that one for the best.
All right. Let's keep on rocking then. Anurag, what's number 9?
Number 9 is the Courtneys. It's a 3-girl band, and they released an album. I think it was last year from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Courtneys. Sorry?
Oh, it was the Courtneys 2, right?
This one's called the Courtneys 2. I mean, yeah. It is not the...
This is our second Roman numeral album in a row.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the song we're going to play is Virgo. So the whole album is like this. I just love this, you know, infectious poppy songs with that fuzzy guitar. And the drummer is the singer. I just looked it up and I never knew that she's the singer, the drummer. So that's a really, really good album. Highly recommended.
Yeah, I don't think David's going to disagree. You were a proponent of the Courtneys too. Yeah.
They were big contenders to get into the top 10. I think they only missed it by a slot or two, because there just wasn't room for everybody. But yes, absolutely, Courtney's. No question about it.
Yep, some good fuzz pop.
Exactly, yes.
And Anurag likes to, you know, have some Canada stuff in there, right? You got to represent the country, right?
Yeah, that's not a like a requirement. It's just, you know, that's what you hear whenever you put up CBC Radio 3. So you hear stuff that you really, really like, and then you get hooked onto it.
Well, I've got Canadian content on my list, so don't worry. But
right.
The other thing about the Courtneys is that album is very consistent. I mean, there are eight or nine great songs on there, and I don't think there are any really bad ones. So, yeah.
Their first album is really good, too, but this one is just exceptional. Like there's some more sequels coming up in my list, and those albums are also really good. They're just taking it up a notch.
Great. I hope we hear more from the Courtneys. That album was like early in the year, right?
Yeah, really early.
All right. Now, David's number nine. This is a fun one because, well, let's just say this. It's known on the podcast, and we'll see whether it comes to fruition at all in this list today. But it's known in the podcast that Anurag is a huge fan. I'm going to say he's got a crush on the Crutchfield sisters.
I knew so, was coming.
With that in mind, David, what's your number nine?
Okay, so my number nine is Alison Crutchfield, Tourist in This Town. And, you know, I think there comes a point where you have extraneous factors that have to come into play other than pure quality. And in this case, the extraneous factor in my mind is I can't really have two Crutchfields on the list. I have to make a decision.
Uh-huh.
Who gets on, Allison or Katie?
Yeah, I think both Baird and Chris had that.
It wouldn't be fair to give, you know, 20% of the real estate to one family.
It'd be like a like a Donald Trump thing or something.
Yeah, it would be, you know, income inequality on a grand scale. So I had to make a decision, and you know, of course, I'm as you know, I'm a huge Waxahachie fan. And I hadn't really listened to Allison, but I heard enough good things on the podcast to say, okay, I really have to check out her record. And so she elbowed out her sister. What can I say?
Yeah, kind of rudely.
Waxahachie is in the honorable mentions, and Allison is sitting at number 9.
Cool.
And I have a feeling we might encounter her later on, too, so you never know. But for me, there are a lot of songs to pick, but I picked Expatriate.
That's Alison Crutchfield.
And it has Barrett's favorite drum beat, the Be My Baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Drum beat.
That's right. Yeah. You can't have a copyright on a drum beat that simple. So it's okay to use it, you know. Just can't, exactly. Can't overdo it, but yeah.
Springsteen, cool. Crutchfield, they all have it.
Right.
So the interesting thing, I think, the more I listen to this record, the more I realize that this one and the Waxahachie basically have the same theme running through them, which is they're both kind of, I'm through with you. Mm-hmm. This is a horrible relationship. I'm through with you. I'm going out on my own, and I'm going to make it. I'm going to conquer the world. That's the theme.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Right? And both of them.
Yep. Both of them.
And they both had pretty good years, career-wise, for sure, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That's number 9. Alison Crutchfield. So now we're ready for Anurag's number 8.
Number 8. It is Public Service Broadcasting. The album is Every Valley. And this is basically the story of the Welsh coal industry. And I think we reviewed it too, right?
You brought it to the podcast.
And yes.
It was. It's great.
It's always been on my list. And the funny thing is that I gave you a song to play, but I'm going to skip that one and ask you to play another one, the number 7 song. And because I kind of wanted to showcase what the album is about, but the song that I chosen was so sad and so slow that doesn't fit in with, you know, if you just listen to the song itself. You got to listen to the album to understand the song. So I said, you know what, let's skip it. So Will, if you don't mind, can you please play number 7, Turn No More?
In the places
So this is the guy who's singing. I don't know his name, but he heads or head Maniac. I don't know how to pronounce it. Maniac Street Preachers.
Oh, Manic Street Preachers.
Manic Street Preachers. Yes. So yeah, this is the guy, and he's basically reciting a poem by one of those Welsh poets, and I just found that fascinating. And this album has just, you know, hit all the right keys for me, and I just love this album.
Yeah, after you told me about it, I listened to the whole thing through, and it's you sort of have to listen to the whole thing through, right? Because no two songs are really the same, and they do this really cool thing where they, like, the majority of the songs, the words are just like sound snippets of spoken word, right?
Yeah, they did a lot of research and recorded a lot of these miners. This is their own recordings, by the way. I think one or two of them are from, they've taken from televisions, ads. The rest are all their own recordings. I was quite surprised by that.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So they spend a lot of time on this. And
it's like spoken word poetry, right?
Yes, that's right.
I had somebody come to my door, speaking of spoken word poetry. Somebody was in my neighborhood going door to door. This nice young woman, and she knocked on the door. She said, I'm raising money for this group, and we do poetry, and I'm a performer, and I'm going around performing for people. And she gives me this sheet and has a YouTube link or something like that. And I say something, I'm just polite, I say, okay, great. You know, I'll take a look at it. Sounds really cool. She says, oh, but I'm performing. So it's like she wanted to, she was ready to recite on my front porch.
Holy cow, really?
Yeah, but I had to, I actually was honestly in the middle of something. So I said, oh, sorry. I'll take a look at your site. That's kind of cool, okay. Right? Yeah.
Strange things are happening in Madison.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah. Well,
speaking of public service, Public service broadcasting. I happen to know from an unimpeachable source that Craig's partner, I believe her name is Amanda, is the world's biggest fan of the Manic Street Preachers.
Oh, okay.
And she has been, according to my source, she has been to see them something like 300 times.
That's great.
But is she following them?
Many more times than Craig has been to see British Sea Power.
Yeah, that's only like 25, right? Yeah.
That's my info on Manic Street Preachers and the Welsh scene right there.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if there's any musical artists I've seen more than 4 times. Maybe my record would be 5. I think when I was a teenager, I saw Rush 4 times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was, you know, like 21, 12. Man, that was awesome. And then I think
those are big numbers.
In the modern day, I think I've seen Proto Martyr 4 times, and I'd see him again. You guys know how I'm always singing the praises of Proto Martyr.
I cannot get on that train, man.
Yeah, everybody can do it.
It does not work for me.
I appreciate the effort.
Yes. Now I'm not going to try anymore. I'm done.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Don't try to force it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, David.
Anurag is right in the neighborhood. He could just pop over to Detroit and see them.
Exactly.
I know. It's just
drive to Windsor and
I have trouble negotiating a 2-hour drive to Toronto. You asking me to do a 4-hour drive to Windsor?
you could do it. Traffic might not be quite as bad.
It's a pretty boring drive too. I've done it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So have I. Yeah. It's not the greatest. Except you feel like for me, it's like, well, I'm driving through Canada, so that's cool. And it just feels a little cooler than driving through central Wisconsin, you know, which to me is like the most boring thing ever. But all right, David, number 8.
So number 8 is, I know, a band that I know Will is intrigued by. And the name is Lexi. It's a side project of Greta Klein, who is the singer with Frankie Cosmos, and two other guys who are from another band whose name is now escaping me. Will, do you remember who?
There's no way that I should be not remembering that. We were just talking about it.
I want to say merchandise, but it isn't merchandise. It's something like that.
I had the same confusion. We'll get it. I'll figure it out when we're playing the track.
In any case, I think when when Bob Pollard finds out about this record, he's just going to be spinning in his sleep every night, because they have achieved what Guided by Voices is trying to do, which is, you know, nothing but 2-minute songs.
Yep.
I actually looked at the record today to see, I think there are either eight or nine songs on the record, and the total time for this, I guess it's an EP, is 16 minutes.
Yeah, that's pretty succinct. Yep.
That is succinct. Yep. I think there are even a couple of 1-minute songs on here. But anyway, so it's a very twee kind of sound, but a lot of interesting contrasts in the vocals and just a really interesting 16 minutes. What can I say?
Wow. I thought of the other band. Yes. It's Warehouse.
Warehouse.
Yep.
Well, merchandise is what you find in a warehouse.
I know. Right? So. I actually had that same confusion. Because there's a band called Makes Merchandise, too. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Okay. So the song, it's hard to pick, but the song I picked is In Us.
That's Lexi. It was on my honorable mention, and it was in Craig's top 10. So it
that's right. It made it into Craig's top 10.
Yep,
that's great.
Pretty cool.
That was really good, and I'm impressed. Yeah. How do you spell that, Lexi?
L-E-X-I-E. Yeah, Anurag, you'll like that a lot. You got to check that one out.
Yeah,
you like,
I figured that might be in Anurag's wheelhouse.
You like Frankie Cosmos, right?
I like Frankie Cosmos, but never heard of Lexi.
Yeah, I think this hits a really good combination. You know, there are a lot of people in these indie rock bands, and they play around in different bands, different combinations, and have, you know. And I think they hit a really good one with this band, if it's a band, right? Don't you hope they record more?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But who knows? Maybe it's just a one-off.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Whatever it is, it's good. Love it's called it's called Record Time. Maybe that was a reference to the fact that it's over in 16 minutes, right?
Could be.
Yeah. All right. That's a good one. As they all are, of course. Anurag, yes. What is number 7?
Number 7 is an album I listened to earlier this year, and I knew I would definitely have it on my top 10. It's a band called Moon Duo, and the album is Occult Architecture Volume Number 1. They also released a volume 2 this year, which was just as good, but I prefer the first one. I've always loved those droning sounds and the songs that go on forever and ever and ever. And this is an album that does it for me. And the song we're going to play is White Rose, the last song. And we'll start it around 30 seconds.
Thank you.
Yes. So Moon Duo. How do you recommend it?
And I just did some music journalism to determine that they're from Portland.
Oh, okay.
So they should be personal friends of my son, Reese. I'll have to ask him. They probably live down the block. He probably hears their jams from his apartment. You'd think you'd be able to hear it from pretty much anywhere in town, right?
Absolutely.
I wonder if this seems like a thing Nicholas would be into, too. He loves the long psychedelic jams.
Yeah, he did contact me, and he did mention that he listens to those Indian classical instruments. I was surprised, yeah. So.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, I kind of like the sound. I always, my mental block is always like, am I going to devote the time and the patience to listen to 10-minute tracks, you know?
Oh, you got to put it in the background.
Yeah.
It's not a 16-minute album. It goes on for
right,
a while.
Right, right. Yeah. This one track is almost as long as the Lexi album.
11-minute song. Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right. Moon Duo.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. David's number 7.
Number 7 is a podcast favorite, I think. Couldn't keep her off the list. Japanese Breakfast.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
Just an overpowering record on every level. Lyrics, the sound, her voice, you know. A lot of the songs are very different from each other, but somehow there's something that pulls it all together. Just a great record, can you say? It's on a lot of lists. It's not just on our lists.
Right.
I think a lot of people recognize that how great this band is. It's their, second album, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and this is going to be, it's going to sort of get, I think she's going to get sort of too big for indie rock, sort of. But
it could happen.
So far, she's just great. So hopefully, you know, she'll stay true. We say she because it's sort of a solo project. But on the other hand, like I mentioned on our podcast that she has a full band that is a really good full band. And so it has definitely expanded from just a single person's bedroom project into a real band. And they did a great job putting this together, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's always been on my to listen to, you know, list. But I never, like a couple of times I switched it on and I just switched it off. I don't know why. Because I don't know, Will, was it on your list or was it on?
Yeah, it's on mine.
I listened to the song. I said, oh my God, this is really good. I don't know why I never really paid attention to it.
Yeah, you should give it a chance.
I will, definitely.
So it's Soft Sounds from Another Planet. And what track are we playing, David?
Jimmy Fallon Big.
Thank you.
Yeah, another great song. See, I keep listening to all these songs from this band, and I love them. I don't know why I never listened to them.
So the question is, have they made it onto Jimmy Fallon yet?
I don't know. Have they?
Good question.
You'd think that'd make them, they'd have to play that song, right?
I think they would.
Yeah. Well, that's a great
pick. What if they played that song on Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, he'd be insulted, right?
I guess.
I don't think they have those words in the song, though, anyway, right? At least if they do,
they
notice.
No, yeah. They don't.
So they could get away with playing it on Jimmy Kimmel. Conan O'Brien. Is there still a Conan O'Brien show?
Yeah, Conan keeps going on. I think he does more, he's more popular on YouTube with his segments, not the whole show. Yeah. I haven't seen his show. I don't know how that's going.
Yeah. I haven't watched late night talk show TV in quite a long
really?
Time.
Really? You know, watching Colbert or?
No.
Who's the other one? The Daily Show. Yeah. Those guys are just kicking it out of the box. Yeah. They're doing really well.
Really late in the Jon Stewart era, I started watching The Daily Show a bit. And liked it. And I used to watch David Letterman like 20 years ago.
Oh, okay. So you're not a late night guy.
Yeah. Aging rocker. You know how that is.
Yeah.
We're all aging rockers. All right. Let's see. I think we're up to Anurag's number 6.
That's right. Number 6 is a band that I caught on after listening to one of your podcasts, Shilpa Ray. The album is Door Girl, and the song that I've chosen is Morning Terrors, Nights of Dread. I wish you could play the entire song because right now it's still going on. Sorry.
That's all right. You can talk over it. You'd be like the DJ who talks over the music.
Okay. Yeah, because it starts off as a very 50s, 60s song, you know, and then it, halfway through it just switches a gear and it's got a full-on punk rock song. It's just amazing. I made my wife listen to it and she just had this screwed up look on her face. It's like, what the hell is this? It started off so well and it became what?
Yeah, so, yes. part of it is sort of just a good singer singing some songs, right? And then some of it's just like really punk rock and screaming and stuff. And we should get a comment from David because she's obviously a neighbor because she's from New York City.
Oh, okay.
Well, I haven't listen to a lot of the record, but it is a very New York record. There are a lot of local references. Isn't there a song about like the EMS
EMT,
first responder song on that record? Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. Police, EMT, and the fire department. Something like
exactly.
that is what it's called. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's such a good song.
And it's all like, it's about like all hell breaking loose at like 4 a.m. in New York City.
It is a really interesting record. I mean, parts of it I would describe as neo-soul, and other parts totally punk. So,
yeah,
that's a strange mixture, but that's what she's got going.
I think it's really high quality. And when I heard it, I thought, like, how have I not heard of this person before? So
exactly. Yeah, same here. It's, that's what I had to.
Yeah, pretty cool. Associated acts, according to Wikipedia. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Warren Ellis, John Spencer Blues Explosion, Sharon Van Etten. Now, I don't know how they're associated. Maybe she played in Nick Cave's backup band or something. Anyway, cool. Yeah, I like that pick. That was in my best of post 10 honorable mention, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Honorable mentions.
Shilpa Ray. Yeah, check that out. It's really cool. All right. We are now up to David's number 6. Another repeat. Well, this one's been on two or three. I think it's been on 3 lists already. So, yeah, of ours.
Well, my feeling is if I didn't put this on the list, it would be embarrassing to have missed it. So, you know, it's kind of a requirement at this point. And the band is Slow Dive. And the record is Slow Dive. And as discussed on the podcast, this is what, a 20-year gap in the last record?
Is maybe, something.
Is it 20 or 22?
Yeah, I think 22 is probably better. Yeah, it's really been a long time.
And I have to confess, I knew of the band, but I did not really know the earlier work at all, which I've now gone back and listened to, of course. I just knew that there was this band, Slow Dive, and that they broke up, and there was Mojave 3, and, you know, that was pretty much the extent of my knowledge. So I just basically put on the first track and was blown away. And as I say, I've gone back and listened to the earlier stuff, and of course, it's all really of a piece. I mean, there hasn't been really any, you don't feel like there's been a break of any kind. It's just, here they are again, and they're as great as they ever were. Maybe better, actually.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say. Just an amazing record. And the song I picked was Sugar for the Pill.
It's an atmospheric wall of sound from Slow Dive.
It really is, and there's just all of these little delicate touches that you just find yourself hearing, you know, buried deep down in there. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, and it's just a really interesting album too, right? With the male and female vocals, and there's a, like, I keep coming back when I think of this album to the track where the time signature changes, like, from the verse to the chorus, and it just does this whole, like, sweeping thing. It's like, whoa, it just, like, morphed into something else. Still just a great mood piece sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on this one for sure. Slow Dive. All right, we are up to... Oh, are we up to the top half now?
Looks like it.
We've already made it to number 5. Of course, we have been blathering on now for not quite an hour yet. So, we should be about at number 5 now. So,
So my number five is artist I've been following for a while, and she's always been just below the top 10. But this album has just cemented my love for this artist completely. And her name is Chelsea Wolf, and her album is His Spun. She is, a lot of people call her a goth artist, but once you listen to her songs and listen to her music and her the collaborations that she's had for the last couple of albums that's just produced this outstanding music, you will fall in love with her as well. The song we're going to play is Particle Flux. Yeah, I love that combination of that slow, sludgy guitar and then that, you know, pounding drum in the background. It was just outstanding album. And it's been on my playlist consistently for the last couple of months.
Yeah, it's an interesting combination. I looked at the Wikipedia page, and under genres it says gothic rock, doom metal, folk, and experimental.
That's funny.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, I've heard of Chelsea Wolf before, but I don't think I would not have been able to tell you what her music sounds like. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's really good. You should definitely give her first album, the previous album, a try, Abyss.
All right.
But this one is definitely better.
It does sound very interesting. I've been hearing that name for a long time, but I've never checked her out.
Cool.
All right. That's Anurag's number five. So now we're up to David's number five. Another one you introduced to the podcast.
Speaking of people who don't fit into any particular genre, we have Emperor X, who's he's a guy named Chad, actually, but he goes by Emperor X. And I really think he's the ultimate indie artist because I'm not quite sure he has an actual home base. He just seems to gig constantly around Europe and North America, doing like one night here and then the next night in another town. Doesn't come with much equipment, a guitar and a very primitive synthesizer that he uses, and but every once in a while he stops and does an actual album, and so this one is called Oversleepers International, and it's on an actual record label. It's on Tiny Engines, which I just looked up to see. Tiny Engines is where Palm records, and Deerhoof, and Hotel Year, so they're an actual label.
Yeah, I've heard of them before.
He's making his way up in the indie world, I don't know. Or maybe he's just going to keep crashing on people's couches.
Could do forever. Both, maybe, yeah.
I can't tell. But he seems to be very happy doing what he's doing, I'm telling you. I've seen him twice live, so I can tell you he's having a good time. How do we describe his music, though? I don't know.
All I know is to say is it sounds kind of like the Mountain Goats.
It's very Mountain Goat-like, yes. Lo-fi, very, very literate, very literary. satirical, and well, let's try a cut. Schopenhauer in Berlin.
Emperor X.
Wow.
Yeah, that was you introduced that to the podcast, and I really liked it. And that was one that I don't think I would have even heard of it, because he didn't get a lot of write-ups in the indie rock press, at least the blogs and things that I read. So this is a true David recommendation.
Yeah, wow. He's been sneaking under the radar for a long time, but consistently. Just keeps churning out product.
On the last podcast, I suggested that the band Barlow play at Barrett's Coffee Shop. And that was sort of facetious because they would just, you know, blow the doors off the place. But this guy should definitely play at Barrett's Coffee Shop. Emperor X.
Absolutely.
Now, that would be super cool. So, anyway, Barrett, you're listening, I hope. So, get your booking hat on and get this guy. And if he's touring all the time anyway.
I think he would definitely come.
Yeah,
he'd probably do a gig in Milwaukee too the next day, and you know,
right?
String a few things together.
Right. Yeah. All right. Anurag, what's number four?
Number four is the Will's Band of the Week favorite. I think everybody has them on their.
This is like where Craig says if I don't have this on the list, that I'm going to get kicked off the podcast.
Exactly.
Right.
this is grounds for banning you from the podcast if you don't have them on the list.
Yep.
This is Always. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes.
The Socialites. I picked two songs, but so let's play the song Lollipop, Ode to Jim. And I think it's for Jim Reed of Jesus and Mary Chain. I really like the song, how she's standing in a grocery line and then she, next moment, she's in a on picnic doing LSD with Jim Reed. It's so funny.
The lyrics were so funny that I looked them up as we were listening to that. And then late in the song, there's a line, alter my state to get through this date.
This album is just like I mentioned earlier, that there's a second album and they just, they just kicked it up a gear, and it's an amazing album. All songs are so listenable and so delightful. So, excellent album.
Toronto band too. So you're true to Canada. Well, basically, yes, they might as well be from Kitchener, right? It's close enough.
Yes.
When's there going to be a band, an actual band from Kitchener? That's about as rare as bands from Madison.
I think the moment they find a little bit of popularity, they right away go off to Toronto.
Now they become Toronto bands immediately, right?
Move to Toronto for indie rock stardom.
If that doesn't work, they move to Brooklyn.
Right. Just keep on moving. Yep. How do those bands...
Well, how many lists of our list has always now been on?
Let's see.
I know four for sure.
Yeah, I think the surprise was that they didn't make Craigslist, even though it was his favorite live show of the year.
That's right.
Yeah, but I think maybe he just, he loved the first one so much, and I think he just thought the second one wasn't quite as good. But that he's in the minority on the podcast.
He has the minority opinion that that there's been a decline, and I've been listening very carefully, and I don't hear it. So
yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, no, I like this one.
Yep.
Craig, you're wrong.
Yeah, he's wrong. But since he picked Proto Martyr for number one, I have to keep him on. He didn't get fired. On Rock's like, you should fire him for that.
Well, that was a wise move on his part. That cemented his position there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're up to David's number four. Yeah, no, this is one that On Rock should like, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is right up his street.
Yep.
But unlike Craig, I don't pick on the basis of what will keep me in the fold. I pick
You're
purely
true
on the
independent.
Basis of what I like.
Yep.
I just want to make that point.
Mm-hmm.
So the band is Charlie Bliss, and the album is called Guppy, and very much in the vein of Lexi or Frankie Cosmos. Frankly, some people are not fans of Charlie Bliss because they find that the lead singer's voice. It's a little too, high and childlike, maybe?
Yeah.
This is what I've read. This is what I've heard. And I understand it, but it doesn't bother me. So, obviously, or I wouldn't have picked it and given it a high position on my list. So, lots of great songs. One of the interesting things about this band is, you listen to these songs, like the one I've got here, and they sound very energetic and very up. And then you read the lyrics and you realize that there's something completely different happening. It's really all about depression and anger and anxiety. And the lyrics are amazing. Not that you can necessarily hear them, the first few times around. You might have to look them up, but they are dark, dark songs. But they don't sound dark at all. So, Glitter.
Charlie Bliss. Yeah, I looked up those lyrics. That's a great line in that song. Am I the best or just the first person to say yes? Pretty good. Mm.
Milk my brain and take my life. Everything we say is right. Little monkey up your sleeve. Kiss each other. Make a scene. I mean, yeah, it's
yeah.
I don't understand about the voice. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, it's different, but not annoying.
Yeah, and they've got I mean, the whole band is like a great rockin' sound, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Charlie Bliss.
Absolutely.
All right.
Number three.
Number three is when when we officially get serious. Is number three, right? except one thing before we get to number three is
okay.
I'm going to go get a drink. I think that's important.
That's very
important.
So
if you guys want to get a drink too, it'll be about a minute.
I'll do that. I'll do the same thing.
Okay. I'm just going to keep it recording. So
cool.
Be right back. I'm back.
Hey, we are all here.
Hope you guys all got drinks.
Mm-hmm. I don't think David did. David, do you drink?
Well, he's just focused.
I resent the fact that Will Barrett and Chris were drinking all the way through their podcast. So. And nobody has supplied me with any drinks. So.
It's a sad thing.
I had to do it dry.
But now that you're on the high budget, you'll probably be getting, we'll probably be sending mm-hmm. you, like, whenever you're going to be on the podcast, this package will come. It'll have, like, the custom drinks and probably a glossy color portfolio type thing on like expectations of the podcast and, you know, professionalism and all that kind of stuff. So you can look forward to that.
Wow. I had no idea.
Anurag, you've gotten a few of those, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely.
When we send that folder and it's like, I don't know, it's usually about 20 pages, I think. And it's pretty impressive, I think. And it kind of gives you even if you don't read the whole thing, it kind of puts you in that mode of, you know, I'm involved in a really professional thing here, and I better take it seriously.
Really? So. The stuff you sent me seemed like porn images from Barrett's computer. I got the wrong folder, man.
Wait, did Barrett send the wrong thing? I'm not sure.
Looks like it.
I can't rely on my staff all the time, unfortunately. All right, I know that you took your number three pick of 2017 very seriously, though, Anurag.
I did. Number three, number two, and number one was cemented. There was no moving them once I decided about a month ago. Yes, so my number three is, of course, Alison Crutchfield, Tourist in Town.
I knew that was coming.
Yep.
I knew Crutchfield was coming. I think I knew that Crutchfield was coming, actually.
Yeah, I knew that she supported her sister quite a bit in the last album that Waxahachie had released, Ivy Trip.
Mm-hmm.
But I never knew that she was coming out with her own album. And it's like what David said, it's mostly a breakup, soon after the breakup album. And the song that really hooked me onto this is the song we're going to play today called Dean's Room. Isn't that amazing?
Alison Crutchfield.
Yes.
That's that cool. might actually be the best song on the record. I take back my selection. I yield to your selection.
Good. That's good. But no, I mean, this album is just outstanding. I mean, each song, even the first song, it starts off as something and halfway through it's another song. It just grips you and then just never lets you go.
What are they going to do when they both have a really good year and they have to write an album? It's going to be completely different, right? Probably good, though. I mean, they know how to write music, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I follow Waxahachie on that Instagram, and she has a lot of pictures. Like, she's quite politically motivated, too. So she, the recent, I think there was a Senate race recently in Alabama. Mm-hmm. She's from Alabama. Yeah.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah,
oh, that's so right. They are from Alabama.
They probably they both campaigned for Roy Moore, right?
Roy Moore is the one with that pedophile accusation.
Yeah, he's the bad guy. Yeah.
Oh, he's the bad guy?
Yeah, I was joking.
No. they strongly voted for the other guy. Doug something, yeah. Right?
Doug Jones.
Yep. Doug Jones. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not too political on the podcast, but we've already said, like, we don't care if any Trump supporters listen to our podcast, so I just mm-hmm. don't even care, right? And so, I mean, I think that Alabama one was on a similar level where any right-minded, intelligent person, there's a right and a wrong person to vote for. So maybe I just lost us five more people, but that's fine. I trust that the Crutchfields were on the right side of that one.
I really find this album just amazing. It's very clear. It's not very sparring, and no, it's actually not sparring. It's unsparring, and yeah, it just hits. You know, every song is just, you can just soak it in, and the good thing is it's not a very long album, so you can just listen to it. You know, while you're driving to Toronto.
Yeah, there you go.
While you're driving to a Waxahachie concert. For example,
yeah, exactly. Could do that,
and you can see both of them if you go see, because Allison is right there on the keyboards.
Well, right. So I saw Waxahachie this year with Allison playing the keyboards and with a really impressive band, and I was wondering, does she have a higher budget? So when Allison tours, does she get that same caliber of band? I don't know, but she played some dates herself too, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So I have no idea what backup she had.
Yeah,
I was going to ask, does the opposite happen? Does Katie
play for Allison? I'm not sure. I don't know.
No.
So, well, that's stay tuned.
These are the hard-hitting questions that we ask on the right.
I know.
And yep. Can't answer.
We're on the cutting edge. Okay, David's number three. This is a very intriguing choice, I'm going to say. Very interesting. I'm very interested to hear what you say about this.
Yes, because when I tell you that my number three record of 2017 is... Carrie and Lowell by Sufjan Stevens, you'll say,
hang on,
isn't that a 2015 record, which we all listen to and some of us like very much? And I would say, no, I'm talking about the 2017 record, which is Carrie and Lowell Live.
Oh, wow.
Now, it's been released as an audio recording and also as a video, concert video. I think you can see the whole thing on YouTube, actually. And the reason that I picked it is that it's absolutely overwhelmingly great. And what he's done is, if you recall what Carrie and Lowell sounds like, it's a very spare, low-key record. Very emotional, obviously, the whole story of his relationship with his mother and losing his mother and sort of miserable childhood. And what he's done with the live show, which is recorded on this record, is just totally transformed it with backup singers and synthesizers and keyboards and strings, and it's just a complete lush sound. Pretty much the same songs. There are a few additions, but basically you're going through the sequence, but the songs are completely different. I mean, they're the same, but they're completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And what I picked was... Took me a while to figure this out. All of Me Wants All of You.
see outline change my view.
Sufjan Stevens.
Wow. That's totally different.
Yeah, so the question is, David, did you see Sufjan Stevens on that tour?
Unfortunately, I did not.
I'm pretty sure, and I want to speak inappropriately for Chris, but I'm pretty sure that he traveled to either Milwaukee or Chicago and saw this tour and said it was fantastic. And I looked back, actually played that song a little longer because I had to go verify, which I did. Chris is our resident huge Sufjan Stevens fan, and he had the Illinois album from I think 2005 as his favorite album of the decade. That's how much Chris likes Sufjan Stevens, so I'm sure he would be happy with your pick here. And yeah, that was a great album, and I wish I could have seen that tour, and I think I should probably watch that video. It's great.
Yeah, I think I have to kick myself for having missed that. That tour, and every tour actually so far of Sufjan. But yeah, I recommend watching the video rather than just listening to the record, because it is amazing. There's a lot of lights and projections and things happening.
I'm definitely going to listen to it. Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, he's a super talent. I saw him once live, and it was actually with Chris. When he had that, remember he had that kind of bizarre album called The Age of Ads, and he was kind of going all electronic and all these long songs, and it was great though. It was really good. I really enjoyed the live show. So
it's interesting because I feel like he's taken some of the Age of Ads sound and plugged it into Carrie and Lowell and kind of, you know, created this hybrid sound.
Yeah.
It's a little electronic, it's a little everything, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination.
Yeah, and he's the kind of artist that you just feel like he'll have longevity, right? He'll put out all kinds of stuff, and some of it might be a little bit weird or whatever, but he's just going to be a good, consistent artist for a long time. All right, live album at number 3. Pretty cool.
Wow, yeah.
Anurag, we're up to number 2.
Number 2, because this is my list, you can never have enough Crutchfields on the list.
Here it comes.
Yes, my number 2 album that I have dedicated numerous hours to in the last few months, I bought the LP as well, is Waxahachie, Out in the Storm. So, and the song that we'll play is Recite Remorse. My fist, I was losing my mind, yeah. And do you know who played those synths in the back? Alison Crutchfield.
That was very nice of her to do that for her sister.
Yeah. I'm sure she got paid well.
So, yeah, if there's any show that I'm going to say, too bad you missed it, that'd be the one. Because, you know, I didn't have her album that high, obviously, on my list, not in my top 10. But the live performance, but she's got a great band. Really good.
Oh, man. And so, I missed it. She was here in Toronto, and I was thinking of going, but God damn it, I couldn't.
Well, yeah, and it was,
so as this, I said, the yeah. only reason this wasn't in my top 10 is because of my one Crutchfield rule. Otherwise, it would have been on there, and then I would have had to drop someone else, and we would never have heard of McDavriscan. So, you know,
right,
that would be a tragedy for Sweden. So,
right, but
at least we have Waxahachie on.
Yes, we had to have it
once.
Yeah. Yes,
Anurag is not constrained by that 20% rule. He just doesn't feel any obligation to adhere to that rule.
That's right.
So, yeah, it was a good year for the Crutchfield sisters.
Yeah, this album, I think it kind of I don't know who produced the album, but I think I've noticed that each album is better produced than the last one. And I'm hoping the trend continues, although I don't hope it overblows it completely, the production. But
do you ever think of that? Yeah, it's like sometimes I agree with you. Like, you can definitely tell the production on this one is like a step above the last one, right? But mm-hmm. when do you ever wonder when somebody has, when they get at such a level of production, like I'm thinking of Brian Eno, right? He has like every piece of studio equipment that exists in the entire world is like at his fingertips, and he has to decide, oh, I'm going to record something, and they can only use like a couple of those things, right? Or I always think like it's almost a disadvantage if you have too much equipment, and you know, sort of the same like a analogous situation. If there's too much production, it starts to make it worse. Right?
Yeah.
So I think she should stay at about the same level of production. I guess that's what I'm thinking, right?
Probably, yeah. I mean, she has that quality of, like, when she's singing, you kind of can get the sense that she's singing right next to you, like being really close to the mic and all.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I know what you mean, that, you know, don't start introducing strings, don't start introducing horns, and then layering upon layering. Don't do that. That would just kill it.
Although, on the other hand, that might happen and it might be great, right? Because you don't know for sure. But, I'd be wary of it.
I've seen it fail so many times. In fact, in the next, the number one album that I'm going to discuss,
mm-hmm.
that person's previous albums have suffered because of it, this introduction of these layers upon instruments. I don't know. I don't like those.
We're going to look forward to that discussion.
Interesting clue there.
Yeah. Now, take like U2, for example, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Three or four albums that are great, and then like the last 10, just like, just not very good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's because did you guys ever see that movie, that movie that had Jack White and Jimmy Page and
Make
The
it
Edge?
Loud.
What's it called?
Make It Loud.
It's something like that. Well, anyway, wasn't it striking that the Edge had like this rack with 10 or 20 effects units? Like, that was his guitar sound. And the other two guys were like, I'm going to play my guitar, you know?
I remember the opening sequence where Jack White essentially made an electric guitar out of a string and nails and some piece of wood, and he just made a guitar out of it.
That's right. They show him out in his backyard. Yeah. all right. Yeah, we got to milk these last couple because they're so valuable. All right. We're at Dave's number two, which is, of course, going to be a fun one. We're all going to enjoy this.
Well, just to be a complete bore, I'm coming in with Always. Anti-socialites.
Anurag's thinking, come on, we already talked about them. But you've got it higher up, so you kind of deserve the bigger discussion.
I have them very high up. I have them at number two.
Yep, I think I had them at number two.
Than that.
I had them at number two also.
Oh, there we go.
But as Anurag would understand, they couldn't quite beat out Protomartyr because it's pretty hard to do that.
Right. Well, that's an official choice. That's required in the bylaws.
Right. Yep.
I actually have to credit the podcast with my love of Always, because up until the time I heard you guys discussing it, I knew the Archie song, and I just knew they were the band that did that Archie song, Mary and Archie, from the first album.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that song. It was a catchy song, but I never bothered to check out anything else that they'd done. It just, it was on some playlist that I'd heard, and I just loved it. So since I heard about them on the podcast, I started to do my research and, acquainted myself thoroughly with both of the albums, both of which I love pretty much equally. And, this one has so many great songs on it. It's just amazing. So, it's really hard to pick.
We played about half the album now. We played about half the album on the end of your list podcast.
Probably. My top two would be Tonight. Is it Tonight? In My Dreams Tonight.
Dreams Tonight. Sure. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dreams Tonight, right. And this one, Forget About Life.
I thought of going in the lake and swallowing. Thought that I had unplugged the phone until it rang. When the phases of the moon, they don't apply. Simple task takes several tries. Did you want to forget about love? Did you want to forget about love with me tonight? Underneath this flickering light. Did you want to forget about love with me tonight? Left the apartment in a state of disarray. Tried out the synthesizer you bought yesterday. When the failures of the past, they multiply, and you trivialize the things that keep your hand from mine. Did you want to forget about life? Did you want to forget about life with me tonight? Under condominium signs. Did you want to forget about life with me tonight?
Yep, always. When at a certain point, when they're on so many of our lists, don't you think we can kind of say, we like to say, these are just my favorite albums and everybody has a different taste. And for some reason or another, some people don't put Protomartyr on their list, whatever. But when Always shows up on this many lists, are we prepared to say that there's something greater than just like we kind of like it, right? Like Molly Rankin is a great songwriter, right? Can we say that?
Mm-hmm.
I guess so.
She is, yeah.
We've done a scientific survey, and this is what we came up with.
Yep,
Always wins.
I think we should tweet to her and tell her that most of our podcasters love Always. So
yeah, bunch of old men
from her somehow.
Bunch of old men really think you're great.
That's right.
Yep.
She'll be really impressed.
That's a good idea.
Right. I think that sometimes when I'm in the audience at a show, they're thinking oh, there was that old guy in the second row, and he seemed like he was really into it. So maybe we appeal to a broad range of ages or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this record is so good that I tried to make up a list of a playlist of Always songs and some others.
Yeah.
And I usually the way that you make a playlist is you pick the songs and you put them on the list.
Yeah.
on this one, it was easier for me to just put the whole album on and then remove a couple of songs.
Right. Oh, wow. The first album is that way too, right? It's like, it's so good that you, yeah, you're like, well, what am I going to leave off of this?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Great one. Always. Antisocialites.
So they've been on 5 or 6 lists now, yes, right?
I think the only one they weren't on.
They're killing it.
Grant's list, they were not on, but he really liked it. He said it would have been in his top 20 or 25. You know, he really definitely liked it. So.
Oh, so Grant's music taste is changing finally. Huh?
Well, yeah, I guess it is.
Because most of the stuff he lists out, I have a hard time going through it. It's like, oh my God.
Oh, listen to his top 10, though. This is pretty reasonably accessible.
I haven't the last one yet.
It's going to be on the edge a bit, you know.
Okay.
But hey, you know, we aren't 20 years old anymore. Think how cutting edge our taste would be if we were 20 years old again. Yep.
And I'm driving to Toronto tomorrow, so Grant and Craig are going to be on the speakers.
Oh, that'll be, there's no better way to spend a couple hours, as far as I'm concerned.
Cool.
All right. Well, other than my top 10 would be the best way to spend it, but you know, you can't have that. All right, let's see. Oh, are we at number one now? Or are we at,
We're number one.
We are. We really are. Like, I had to convince myself that we were. Okay, well, that means...
I'm at the edge of my seat, frankly.
Yeah, that means...
We've run through all the crutch fields, so what kind of rugs?
I know. I know, they couldn't hit number one. That's the thing. With all of the accolades, they still couldn't hit number one. They must be so frustrated that they couldn't hit number one on Anurag's list.
Go ahead.
We got to do this. Thanks to Nicholas for that.
I assume you didn't do that?
No. I did not run downstairs and do that. No, that was compliments of Nicholas. All right.
Awesome. So,
Anurag,
drum roll, I should have said my number one for 2017 is Feist.
Now, talk about a comeback. Leisure. Man, that is quite a comeback.
It is. It is. Six years. Release this album after 6 years. And that's what I was talking about, that her previous album, Metals, that she released in 2011, I think. And that's what she'd done. She'd taken her simple lo-fi and just the piano and the drums and the bass and introduced some layers and layers of some instrumentation. And that didn't exactly work. But that didn't really put her down. She's been working very closely on a lot of projects, including Broken Social Scene. In fact, I saw her perform a surprise performance on a Broken Social Scene concert, and she was just awesome. And this album, I had no idea she was releasing it. She released it, and I gave it a listen. I thought it was okay, and then I gave another listen, and then another listen, and I could not stop. And the whole album is also layered, but very differently. It's kind of focusing mostly on the lo-fi rather than, you know, introducing a lot of instrumentation. And the song that's kind of obsessed, like has me obsessed, is the song Lost Dreams that we're going to play now. And we'll go ahead whenever you're ready.
All right. We're going to fade this one in at about 20 seconds.
I used to know by the day and by the night fooling questions, answers and questions, lost dreams, lost dreams, lost dreams, lost dreams, lost dreams, lost dreams. I used to make it so it would all come togetherness. Even that day, I had a dream. I am a dreamer, and I saw all I dreams, lost dreams, lost dreams, lost dreams, lost dreams, lost dreams.
That's Feist.
That's Feist.
All the way from being pretty famous, right, to being on the danger of kind of losing losing your fame, to then to Anurag's number one, and it's like, well, okay, she's obviously back. Yeah, I listened to this, and I thought, I probably mentioned this before, we talked about it a few months ago on the podcast, but I think, for me, I listened to it not expecting much, and I thought it was great how it's both stripped down production-wise, and it's kind of dark, which are both of characteristics that I like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's even a little bit of PJ Harvey, maybe not quite as dark as PJ Harvey, but
I think she sampled one of her songs in her own song. I think "Pleasure," the title track.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, she did.
Huh? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can hear PJ Harvey right at the end.
Remember how PJ Harvey had that album? It's quite a long time ago now, called "White Chalk," right? Where she stripped it down and. God, this one might be my favorite PJ Harvey album.
Exactly.
So very cool. That's a good job by Feist.
It is. It is. Like, the first time I heard her was in that Apple commercial, if you remember. 1, 2, 3, 4. And
God, if you can just get in an Apple commercial. Why don't they have an Apple commercial where they have a little snippet of Will's Band of the Week? Right? Could they do that? Like, some guy puts his phone up to his ear. The phone, the headphones, and they hear us, right?
Yeah. Well, given that they invented the podcast, they should want to promote, you know, the best podcasts around, right?
Absolutely. That's like why it's called a podcast, right? Because of the pod part of it, right? Must have come from iPod. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, now that I know that Feist is Anurag's number one, I'm going to have to go and listen to that record, which I have not done. I haven't actually lost track of Feist since The Reminder, mm-hmm. which is like two albums ago or three albums ago?
I think three.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was a big listener up until that point.
So there you go. It's the comeback album.
So I need to catch up, clearly.
Yeah. Yes.
I need to catch up.
All right. Very cool. All right. Here we go. Again. It's sad that I feel bad that the second guy doesn't get the drum roll again, but, you know, it's consider it a virtual drum roll.
We don't want to overdo it. I do want to congratulate Anurag for having, I believe, three Canadian bands on his list.
Oh, yeah.
So he has satisfied the requirements of the Canadian podcast code, which is 30% content. Is
that, you know what, the other...
Right? Right?
Yes.
The other demographic, though, which is really funny because I was going through Anurag's list and I'm like, is there going to be a single man on this list? It's like, it's female dominated, right? Number I think you have two seven. With the, you have Moon two Duo. With men
that's,
singers,
that's
right?
Guys. Moon Duo, right. That's guys, yeah.
Right. Is that the only one?
And public service.
Public service.
Oh, right, right.
That's guys too.
Yeah.
I don't have anything against guys. Okay.
You like us, don't you, Anurag?
Yes, I do.
Good. I thought so. All right. We don't sing for you, though.
Yeah. Better not.
No, that wouldn't be good.
Uh-huh.
When I was... I've been in a couple bands, and anybody would tell me to try to sing backing vocals. And I was like, you don't want to do that. It's... And I always would say that it would sound like AC/DC backing vocals. You know how they sound? It's kind of like... Uh-huh. It would be like that. Yeah. It's not too good. David... What is the...
Well, you know, I don't have a very high male content on my list either. I think I count maybe 2.5.
Yeah, it's been kind of a...
Slow dive being the half.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. It's been a great year for the women in rock, according to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. So, which leads us right into number one here, which, yeah, what a fun pick. I love it. I saw this band / performer live. And that's cool. Yep. I'm glad that I did, and so did you. So you're going to tell us about it.
Yes, I did, and I'm seeing them again in January. And I believe, if all goes well, Craig is going to be seeing them in London in January.
Well, good.
And the band is Snail Mail out of Baltimore, Maryland. And Lindsay Jordan is lead singer and lead guitarist. And earlier in this year, she was 17. She may still be 17. Or maybe she's turned 18.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
But that is very crazy, yes. And I think the guys are pretty young, too. They're two. She has a drummer and a bass player who they were manning the merch table at the show I went to. And they look pretty young, too. Pretty amazing. Anyway, what they have out is just an EP called Habit. But what I recommend people listen to is actually the Audio Tree album, which is a live album, which is also available. And that is basically, that is five of the six songs that are on the EP. But if you listen to the two versions, the live versions are so much better. And there is seems to be some kind of production problem, frankly, with the EP. It's a little too muddy. Even if the performances were the same, I would still say go with the other one because there's something, you know, as Will was saying, you know, we're starting at the bottom end of the equipment spectrum here. They didn't have the money to do the best production, I guess, on this first EP. But the live one sounds fabulous. And the song is Dirt.
Snail Mail, and yeah, they had an EP called Habit, and that's the Audio Tree live version of the song Dirt.
And she's 17?
Yeah, she might even be like the ripe old age of 19 by now, who knows? But yeah, you know, one thing I think of, and I know this is just super common in the rock and roll world, it happens all the time. People play guitar and sing at the same time. And, you know, that like, people just take that for granted. And if you're playing, like, your basic power chord, you're playing, like, bar chords or, you know, the basic guitar strumming, that's maybe not that hard to do. But as a person who's played in, you know, like, old guy rock and roll bands playing bass, I have to concentrate to play my single note on the bass, right? And I'm not even playing chords, and I'm not trying to sing at the same time. And she doesn't just play like straight ahead chords. She's got like stuff going on, and she's singing at the same time. This is clearly a talented person. Now, I'm only talking the, you know, the academic side, but the songs are great, and
right,
yeah. So that's cool. That's a really fun pick.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, there aren't that many people who can play guitar like that and sing. I have to go back to Jeff Buckley, basically, and say, you know, that's what he did, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, he would play very, you know, intricate guitar lines and be singing at the same time and with no other backup. She's at least got the bass and the drums there, but yeah, it's she's supplying a great deal of the musical content all by herself.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really amazing. I mean, like, even when my daughter also is dabbling in, you know, music, and when she plays the ukulele or the piano and she's singing at the same time, it's just like outstanding. I said, how can somebody do that? And the only thing I'm good for is just listening to music.
It's easier to just sit back and listen, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, I guess we've...
Lindsay is making her way to London without her bandmates. She's doing a solo gig in London, and the rumors I hear are that Craig will be there. So I think that's something like January 10th or 12th.
Very cool.
In the UK.
Wow. That's great.
So the word is spreading.
Good. Snail mail. Yeah,
excellent, man. I'm definitely going to go back and listen to a few of your list, David. I like them.
Yes. Same for me. I'll have to check out Moon Duo. I'll have to check out that Feist album. Let's see, what else?
Will have a list, right, Will?
We're going to put that... Okay, this is what I'm going to have to do. Because you can't put the list up there before the listeners have it, right? So we'll eventually, all the lists will be up there on the website eventually. But I'm trying to give them some time to, you know, so people can listen to the podcast and not have a spoiler.
I'm just going to forward mine to David, and David will do the same for me. Right, David?
Absolutely.
So, I'm just as excited as ever about the correspondence lists and the whole year with the correspondence has been just absolutely great. We've gotten more.
Do you have any more to go?
We got a new Nicholas.
That's right.
Nicholas. And he's like what I said to him is, no matter what time it is here, actually, no matter what time it is there in Melbourne, it's always like 4 a.m. here. Like, it doesn't matter even like what time you pick. So, but we'll figure out a time. He had a little bit more flexibility, and it was easier because you guys are on the same time zone. So, we'll get Nicholas, and I think, I don't know, I'm going to find out if Wilson wants to do one, and I don't know. My son Reese did a top six or something like that last year. I'm not sure if he's gotten anything in mind or not, so we'll find out. So, yeah, we'll have one more that will be, I guess, characterized as an end-of-year list, and then we'll have to be moving forward to 2018, right?
That's right.
Awesome. So it's just been great to have everybody's contributions, and that's what keeps the podcast going. So thanks,
keep
you guys.
Up the good work, Will. Yeah, you're doing great.
Yes, you're wearing yourself out there. You've got how many year end shows now? Four, five.
This is the third one. There'll be one more. It'll be at least four. Yeah. But at least we don't have to study any new music, right? I do have. Boy, do I have. Let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have about 15 albums. At least that from 2017 that we've never talked about that I think are kind of interesting that I need to kind of go through. And so we won't run out of content. Let's just say that.
Of course.
All right.
We can have a January mop up show.
Right. Right. Mop up show with 15 bands. It'd be 4 hours long.
Maybe what one of the shows you can do is after a few months, if you can't get anybody on the podcast, maybe you should do a review of the 2017. Does the list still stand, or would you make changes to it?
Right, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, Grant was just talking about that. He was telling me that he was listening to things, and he was like, oh, man, I just got into this album from 2017 and thinking maybe that should have made the list. And I'm like, well, you just got to recognize that it is a point in time, and there's no definitive thing.
That's true.
Right?
For example, I just suddenly realized I've been listening to St. Vincent a lot. Why isn't she on my list?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Well, you're right. It's what you're listening to at that point, right?
Yeah. The only thing for sure that is irrefutable is that the Proto Martyr album is the best album of 2017. All right. Thanks,
and
you guys.
No list is complete without Crutchfields.
Yeah, well, that's been pretty much established here. Yeah. All right, time for the exit music. Thanks, you guys. We'll talk to you again. Yep. Hopefully, hopefully several times each in the year 2018. If hopefully David won't be too busy with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers up in Appleton and Anurag. Boy, I don't know. You're busy with all kinds of stuff, but we'll find you for sure.
Absolutely, I'll be here.
Okay, I think I'm coming up to Toronto in let's see, I have to drive up there again probably at the end of April, whenever that academic year ends. I'll probably be driving up there. I should come up like you know, half a day early so we can, you know, rock and roll in Kitchener.
Yeah, let me know, and then maybe we can. I could probably, if there's a good band playing, then I'll have a good excuse to give to my wife. Hey, Will is showing up. I gotta go meet him, and then maybe you can catch a band.
What I could do is I could pick you up, mm-hmm. and you could just come to Toronto with me, and then you could either ride back with us, or actually, my son will have a pile of stuff in the car. You could just take the train back, right?
You'll strap me on the hood.
Yeah, we'll figure out this stuff. Hey, wasn't that Mitt Romney strapped his dog on the hood of the car?
Oh, yes.
Remember that story?
I heard that story.
I had to throw that in. All right. Thanks, you guys. We'll talk to you again in 2018 with several more editions of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Thank you, Will. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.